That's right. That is right. It is here. Finally. April, the ending of the worst month of all of our lives, is in the books. And the April edition of Calvin and Campbell live at the Wholesale Inc. studios, brought to you by Wholesale Inc. or RumbleOn.com. Man, if that wasn't the longest month of our lives, Calvin, I don't know what is, or I don't know if it'll ever get topped.
It's a historic month, and it's maybe the most historic month I'll ever live through, and I'm only 21 years old, right? I'm a stock market nerd. I'm a stock market junkie. I love following that. The sharpest decline in American equities in the history of this country that we've ever seen.
That ain't even close.
The Great Recession was a crisis within financial markets and just the flow of money in this country, and it didn't drop this quickly because that's the effect this thing can have. It's honestly something that once the other side comes through of this, when we get to the other side, when a vaccine is developed, however long that may take, it's something you look back on, and March 2020 is going to be unforgettable. And let's hope, and here is to kicking off April 2020 in a better way that will hopefully shed some light on everything that's happened this month.
And it's already off to a pretty bad start,
yes,
given the NBA has been in discussions of just canceling the season, that there have been strong pessimism towards canceling the season or towards the future of the season. It is looking bleak. I'm sure a lot of us have been pretty pessimistic about a lot of things. So it's already off to a rough start. The baseball season is, I guess, the only hope we'll have at a somewhat full season of any sport, wouldn't you think?
It makes sense to me. It really just kind of, I look at it and I see absolutely why the NBA and NHL would want to hold out and evaluate this on a weekly or every 2 weeks basis. That I think that makes a lot of sense given how little we still know about this virus, how we still learn so much every single day. As the case numbers increase, you just need more data as tests become more available. So I totally see the logic of the NBA and the NHL waiting it out and wanting to see how this plays out and hoping you can get something by in July. At the same time, at this current juncture, I just feel like it doesn't match up that there's going to be games played in those two leagues. In baseball, let's say they're able to get something going by maybe late June, July, August. Some would say that's optimistic even.
Yeah, that would be pretty optimistic.
That's feasible because baseball is just this whale of a season, this marathon of a race that you have to run constantly that goes all the way into October, November. Baseball might be able to get something by even if it's 81 games, even if it's 50 games, something to that effect where they can recover because it's just when their season starts. But the NBA and NHL, sadly, for this market, Nashville, who has an NHL team in the Nashville Predators, I don't want to come on here and speculate for anybody and say what's going to happen or anything like that because I don't know. Honestly, just like the people running these leagues don't really know.
They don't know. That's the worst part. They don't even know.
Just the even worse part is epidemiologists don't know because we still have to learn every single day. And I think if you're taking this on a every 2 weeks basis, that is the best you can do at this point until you get a really clear picture that hopefully we will be able to gain in this month.
And if you're the NBA and NHL too, I mean, the worst part about all of this is that your seasons were winding down.
You were so close to the big money makers.
The playoffs, the finals, the Stanley Cup playoffs, everything. You were so close to. Tonight would have been the last night of the NHL season. The Preds were supposed to be playing their last game of the year. This would have been game 82 against the Minnesota Wild. It also would have been the Final Four. That would also would have been tonight as well.
But, which, it's so crazy to have a March without college basketball.
Yeah, with none.
The CBS theme music not playing in the background.
At all. I've missed that so much. And it's depressing to think that tonight, like the most fun part of the NCAA tournament, in my opinion, is the night of the Final Four. Getting to watch the two biggest games in a large NFL huge stadium.
Does not look right to the eyeball at all.
At all. It's almost not even worth going, because if you get a seat for a reasonable price, you're going to be so far back that you need to have binoculars to be able to see anything.
I feel like even the expensive seats at Final Four games are still not even good seats, though, because what kind of a view are you going to have from the sideline of an NFL stadium?
Exactly. On a college basketball court. But they still manage to pack those things out. That's
I would totally want to go if I was a big fan of Wisconsin or know Big Blue Nation Kentucky is going to show out if the Wildcats are in the Final Four.
And speaking of Kentucky, the SEC tournament getting canceled after the first day.
That was quick, too.
That was really quick. Kentucky would have sold the entire place out.
Oh, absolutely.
The Bridgestone Arena is RUP Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
Kentucky.
When they come to town to play at Memorial Gym, there's a lot of blue in those stands.
A whole lot of blue.
And even when especially when Vanderbilt's good, when they're bad, not so much. But black and gold, they have a pretty good basketball following, too.
Oh, yeah. Probably more so than, wouldn't you say, more so outside baseball than any of those sports, which, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy to think that an SEC school has its largest following in baseball than it would be for, like, men's basketball or football.
And it's not even close with Vanderbilt either in baseball, which is one, just a testament to Tim Corbin.
Oh, yeah. Because easily.
I mean, it's really easy to come on the radio and talk about how a lot of people do a lot of things wrong. But as someone who grew up in this city, grew up playing baseball in high school, going to Vanderbilt camps in the summers, they just do it right over there at Vanderbilt. Yeah. The national brand they've built from Vanderbilt, who before Tim Corbin got there, was not good at baseball.
Nowhere near what it is now.
It's not like they're Texas, Georgia, Florida, UCLA or something with this like national brand school that has a lot of students at all. But somehow Vanderbilt has not been able to develop in the big name sports, but you bring in the right coach in the right time for the right sport. And honestly, in some ways, that might be the most you can expect from a school like Vanderbilt at some points. Granted, you're in the SEC, pony up money.
And speaking of Vanderbilt baseball, too, it's really unfortunate for them through this whole coronavirus pandemic that their season got halted before it really got to the best part. I mean, you were just getting into conference play, and there is nothing more exciting than SEC baseball conference play. SEC weekend series are awesome, especially in that conference where there's like 8 or 9 teams that are title contenders.
If you go on a Friday or Saturday, you're probably going to see someone who's going to be a top 5 pick at least once.
Mm-hmm.
The SEC in baseball, it's a sight to behold. It's the best baseball conference in the country.
Probably the most loaded conference of any sport in the country.
And what's great about going to those games, tickets are what, $20?
If that,
general admission, $10-$15. College baseball is cheap to go to. It's cheaper than a Sounds game, which for Triple-A baseball, pretty cheap too. And that's something that on a beautiful day like today, right? I love spring and fall because days in the mid-70s make me so happy. I don't go inside. When I go inside, all the windows are open. People have to tell me to shut the windows because I just love how these kind of days feel where you go out and watch baseball. And sadly, we've been robbed of one of my favorite things to do in the spring and summers is go to watch baseball games because there's nothing more timeless just that fills the heart with joy.
Oh, my God. And imagine how like eager we're going to be to go to live sporting events once this is all said and done.
I'm curious. Let's say in just – I'm just throwing out a number here, right? I don't know anything about when this is all going to be over. Let's say 3 months.
We're all shooting from the hip here.
We're all shooting from the hip. 3 months. We can all go back out, Elijah, okay?
Okay.
May, June, July. It is July the 4th. Wow.
Wow.
That works out nice. Where are you going for the 4th of July, Elijah?
Oh, man. I would love to make a trip. Of course, I don't have the schedule in front of me. But I would then take the opportunity to finally go to my first Reds game. Lifelong Reds fan.
Yep. Great American.
I've never been to Great American Ballpark. I've gone to Reds games. They've all been on the road. I have never seen a Reds game at Great American.
Well, where have you seen Reds games?
Two at Tropicana Field in Tampa Bay.
That is so random.
It is incredibly random. It is one of the most random professional sporting events that, A, you can ever think of, and B, ever attend. And I attended.
Wait, so what were you doing there? How did you get there being from Nashville?
Vacation.
Okay.
On vacation. Me and my family would usually vacation in Sarasota, Florida. and the drive from Sarasota to Tampa Bay is maybe like 25, 30 minutes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's really not. Or, of course, I guess they're technically in St. Petersburg. That's like a 25, 30-minute drive.
See, I've
drive.
Never been, so that means nothing to me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's like a 25, 30-minute drive from what I remember. And it was the first game we went to, Evan Longoria hit a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth after Jay Bruce hit a go-ahead home run, a two-run go-ahead home run in the top of the ninth. One of the more wild. And that was, I was actually on SportsCenter that night because we were sitting in left field seats, and the ball was hit right to where my ex-stepdad was, and he botched it. It went right to him. You see his little bald head stand up, you know, reach for the ball, and it bounces off his hands, and some little kid in the row below us gets the ball. And yeah, but that was a SportsCenter top 10 play because it was a walk-off home run. It was like number one play of the night. So we got to watch on SportsCenter my stepdad at the time totally botch catching Evan Longoria's walk-off home run ball.
That's hilarious.
Completely botched it, yeah. Poor Rick, wasn't much of an athlete.
Evan Longoria not in a Rays uniform now, just thinking about that.
That's weird,
It still
man.
Doesn't feel right because he's the most significant player to ever come out of that franchise, it
yeah.
seems.
Oh, easily. I mean, he was the best player on the World Series team. And
yes.
That's how he's going to be remembered, as being the guy on a team that went to the World Series playing in a dome, in a dump, even though I love that place. I love Tropicana Field.
Tampa, Florida. A place that should be a beautiful outdoor stadium because
yep.
you're in Florida, where
man.
When the season starts, people are going to play you because your weather is nice there.
Yep.
At least I feel like Tampa Bay, these places that are in beautiful cities, should have the nicest fields.
There is one thing, though. There's never been a game rained out at Tropicana Field.
That's a fact.
There has never been a game rained out, and it does like to rain a lot.
More balls hit the ceiling there, too, than any other.
That is also very true. There has not been a catwalk hit longer or more often than in Tropicana Field. I think it's been abused by Carl Crawford pop-ups for an entire decade.
Carl Crawford, wow.
Speaking of mediocre batting and mediocre performances at times, last week we did start our list, we're drafting a field of 16 of the worst sporting teams in the state of Tennessee throughout the last decade. We have had four picks. We'll review last week's drafting, and we will round out the field for the rest of the show here on Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You heard her. Stay at home, chumps. Don't leave your homes unless you absolutely have to. And even then, you should think about it. Calvin and Campbell here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming back with the CBS basketball theme song. At least we get to hear it in this capacity. It's not completely robbed from us. We get to talk about a bracket of sorts.
It's close enough, and this just makes you a little bit happy, stimulates the senses a little bit.
It does. Gives me some good memories, some positive memories outside of, you know, everything that's happened in the past month, as I like to call it.
And not having college basketball.
Very true. And there was some college basketball in this bracket that we're talking about right now, and that bracket that we just mentioned is the bracket of the worst sports teams in the state of Tennessee in the last decade, the bracket where the losers win and the winners lose. What a concept.
And we, how God intended it on this earth.
This is how
we're
God,
setting
yeah.
it straight.
We're golf scoring this. The winners are the ones with the fewest points scored. That is how this bracket is going to be run. If you win, you're eliminated, you lose, you get to advance. So what's the field, you might ask? Well, we're doing a snake-style draft to determine our field. And last week we got to four teams. I, by way of coin flip, the way every lottery system should be played in America, in American pro sports, instead of ping pong balls, I vote we just do coin flips. I got the first pick.
So Bernoulli of you. Zero or
yep.
one.
Zero
there
or
is
one.
No other.
Yep, it's black or white, baby. I don't know what gray is. Number one, I took the 2014 Tennessee Titans. Had several thoughts on that.
They were a pretty bad team. We did two whole segments on them.
Yeah, that's how bad that team was. Calvin takes the 2014 Vanderbilt football squad, one of the most infamous rotating chairs of quarterbacks.
Going back through that, Josh Grady threw one pass, but there were four quarterbacks who threw more than 50 passes for that team. And it was
a revolving door.
Shoot. Looking back to last week, every day this week at one point I thought, man, last Saturday, I really did almost a full segment on how much I liked Warren Norman when Warren I was 12 Norman. Years old.
That's where we're at, Sports Talk Radio. Last segment, I talked about my ex-stepdad botching a home run ball from Evan Longoria that made SportsCenter's top 10 plays.
And
that's
Warren,
where we're at right now.
Warren, if you're listening, I was your biggest fan when I was 12. It's not a slight on you. It's just you haven't played college football in a while.
Give us a call.
Give us a call, Warren, 615-737-1025. Honestly, if you have a Nashville area sports team that you remember as being really bad, I don't care if it's a middle school basketball team.
I'll include them. We can include them in this
list. Shoot, the Croft Cougars, when I was in seventh grade playing for that team, we were like 1-5 in football. We were a bad football team.
Hey, I was the only sixth grader on a sixth grade basketball team at York Elementary School in Jamestown, Tennessee, and we went 0-15.
Shoot.
We stunk it up, baby.
If you have a story of sorrow of your team being very, very bad that'll hopefully give us a laugh during this time of turmoil.
For the love of God, please.
Give us a call. We want to laugh. 615-737-1025 is the phone number.
I'll even open up the text line. I have it on my phone.
Shoot.
I have the Zip Whip app on my phone. If you even want to text it in, what's the worst team you've ever heard of? Or in the state, played on, or whatever. I don't care. We just like talking about bad sports.
615-737-1025.
Got Zip Whip open and everything. But Vanderbilt football, revolving door of quarterbacks, including one Steven Rivers, who just so happens to be a brother of Phillip.
Now Indianapolis Colts.
Indianapolis Colt legend, Phillip Rivers. number three, I took the 2018-19 Vanderbilt basketball team, the straw that broke the Bryce Drew back over on West End, the winless 0-18 in the SEC basketball team. The quit word got to be attached to it.
Just untapped potential. It was a real shame.
So much.
A real shame.
And then the four seed, the 2017 Tennessee Vols football team, Butch Jones is 0-8 masterpiece in the SEC, a team that was coached two games by Brady Hoke. Of all people.
Which, it tells you something about where you get to if Brady Hoke's your coach. And
on purpose.
The big debate about that one was, Butch Jones' team really beat out Derek Dooley's worst team?
Because that's
where my mind went first when picking that was, I need a discussion here about Derek Dooley versus Butch Jones. And Butch Jones beat it out.
Butch, brick by brick,
brother.
Hey, he's won something. And
Roll
that's
Tide
by...
now.
They, that guy. Derek Dooley can thank Jim Chaney for not being on this list because that offense was at least good. That was a great offense, actually.
37 points a game or something? Tyler Bray was slanging the thang.
He's slanging the thang, and Justin Hunter was catching the thang. And there was a lot of catching, a lot of throwing, a lot of Cordero Patterson punt and kick returns for touchdowns. The offense is actually exciting to watch. The defense has had a tendency to give up 40 to teams like Troy. That was kind of where the issue lied.
And that's where the Vols football is at this point.
Yeah.
Now you have Jeremy.
Yeah, team couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Georgia State.
Ooh, yeah. Dark days.
Man.
But thankfully, we can only pick one Tennessee football team, and that is part of the parameters of our bracket here. There's only one team from each program. Notice we had a Vanderbilt football and basketball. We cannot reuse Vanderbilt football and basketball teams, so... Mercifully, for me, a guy who grew up as a Tennessee football fan, we can only relive one dark chapter of Tennessee Vols football during this bracket. Looks like we have a call. We have a call. Joseph. Joseph on the line,
call.
Yeah.
Joseph in Red Boiling Springs. Joseph, hit us with what you got, man.
No, I'm in Cross Plains, actually.
Oh, you're talking
Plains.
About Red Boiling Springs.
Yeah, it was either 02 or 03. I went to East Robertson High School, and we played Red Bowling Springs that year.
Okay.
We went into halftime up 60-0. And somehow...
Is this football?
Yes, in football.
Oh, my God.
And we were actually fixing to put in our JV squad, which I was on. We were fixing to put in all the backups. And miraculously... Every light in the stadium turned off except for the scoreboard and the concession stand.
Oh, my God.
Really?
So they called the game at halftime at 60-0.
Mercifully.
Was it determined that the light shutting off was intentional?
No, they actually claimed to have a transformer blow down the road.
Oh, okay. And that's a convenient transformer blowing out. Very convenient time for that to happen.
The players, we all said, yeah, they cut the lights to try to kind of end the misery.
Oh, dude, you had to have been so mad, right? Because you were getting ready to play. You were on the team. You were getting ready to get varsity minutes.
We actually were fixing to kick off, and I mainly played defense, and I was so hyped up and ready to go. Already had all that adrenaline flowing and everything, and I was ready. And then it just went out. So we had to line up against the fence and. Load up on the buses.
That sounds actually a little scary, but thank you so much for the call, Joseph. That was a good one.
You got robbed, brother.
He really did. If you have something even remotely as good as that, that's a great way to kick this off. 615-737-1025 is the phone number.
60-0 at halftime. I would love to get tape on that game just to watch it, to see like how bad do you have to be. Which Red Boiling Springs, very, very, very small town.
I've never even heard of it.
It's tiny. It is tiny.
That's part of me being from Nashville, from the city, right? You just kind of get oblivious.
That's
my city blinders.
To the plebeians around you that in our state. See, they growing up in Jamestown, Tennessee, I have a good grasp of some of the really small towns. And Red Boiling Springs does kind of make Jamestown look like a metropolis of sorts. But I am
really?
Like, I get surprised Red Boiling Springs ever is able to field team. Because the school is just that small. And it's no fault of their own. They're bad because they just don't have a lot of kids. But 60-0 is still surprising to hear. Anytime you hear it, regardless of the circumstances around it, hearing someone get beat 60-0 is why. Or in one half. We're not even talking about a full half of football. My poor man, Joseph, man. He was getting ready to come in, get some varsity minutes as a JV player.
Heck yeah.
That's a punch to the gut, dude.
Well, I remember in middle school baseball, we had a pretty decent squad for our Croft Middle, McMurray Middle, Oliver Middle team, and we would play
a blend.
The kids from West End. And it wasn't just West End, they combined Megs, which is the magnet school here in Nashville, and usually they weren't the best. Mm-hmm. And probably the best beatdown I was ever a part of in that respect, because I don't think I've ever been beat down like 60-0, is we would get up like 20-0 on West End in 3 innings.
Oh.
In middle school baseball.
In 3 innings.
Yeah, I mean, it would happen pretty quick.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, no, I played on some bad baseball teams. I played on a fall ball team that went winless. But it was a four-team league, and this is in Cookeville. Four-team league, we were the Marlins. So not only were we really bad, we were a team that was really bad at the time, too.
Derek Jeter can't fix that.
Had teal uniforms. Like, we were a total eyesore. Teal socks. I loved it.
That's awesome.
People ragged on us so hard for having the worst uniforms in this league. And we were terrible. We lost every regular season game. We played every team. Of course, in your four-team league, we played every team, like, five times. Lost five. We got swept every single time. But we got to play in the championship game because the team we were supposed to play, the one seed in the tournament, the postseason tournament, had to forfeit because they had a travel tournament that they would rather have played. So we got to play in the championship game. I got to start in the championship game, had 3 shutout innings before getting tattooed for 7 runs in the fourth. Yeah. And it was all downhill.
One inning
from
too
there.
Long. Should have brought in the lefty.
Should have brought in the lefty at that point. Our manager didn't see me, wearing down. He didn't notice my velo was
He didn't have the spin rate on your fastball. Didn't see it drop to 2,200 RPMs, did he?
He didn't see that, and then it left me in too long. I left a couple hanging, and I got tatted on, man.
He left you in there for 7, though. I mean, that's kind of mean.
Yeah, it wasn't very merciful. And it also didn't help that going into that season, I was the only person that's ever pitched in any game. So it was sink or swim, and it's safe to say we sank.
I'm coming to the conclusion for this show. We're going to get through this bracket, but at the same time, we're not afraid to jump around.
Oh, no.
We're not afraid to talk about anything that might give us a laugh, especially if it's about funny sporting events. 615-737-1025 is the phone number.
What's good at reminiscing on sports if you can't laugh at yourself or laugh at some of your team's miseries for a little bit? And I'm glad we get to do that. And we're getting ready to continue to do that because I, with the number 5 seed pick, will make my selection on the other side. And when you talk about dysfunction in the state of Tennessee, this pro sports franchise almost takes the cake. We're going to see what I'm talking about on the other side here on our bad team bracket discussion here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Very, very fitting that Captain Kirk comes in with the ESPN on NBA or NBA on ESPN intro, because when drafting our worst teams in the state of Tennessee over the past decade, sometimes the NBA is a place where you should look no further in the state of Tennessee to find a little bit of good old-fashioned dysfunction. And so with the fifth overall pick,
you can't put the New York Knicks on here now.
We can't, because the New York Knicks, noted, not in the state of Tennessee.
Not in the state of Tennessee, and they would probably take the cake so easily in this competition, despite all of the dysfunction that happened to slip to the four seed with Tennessee football.
Oh, exactly. And this would be really funny to do, just for New York teams, too, because there are a lot of crappy New York franchises that have played around this last decade. However, it'd be hard to pick only one Knicks team, one Nets team, or one Jets team, or in the last couple of years, one Giants team. It would be really, really hard.
Oh, man. I mean, how is New York, this powerhouse of a city in this country, despite what's going on up there right now with COVID-19, the staple of this country, the Statue of Liberty, Wall Street, incredibly populated.
Yeah.
And they cannot field a good sports team this decade to save their lives.
The
Mets actually made the World Series this last decade, which I feel like it's forgotten because somehow they're still
point,
the
yeah.
Mets. I feel like the only thing they have is the Yankees.
Yeah. The Yankees and the New York Rangers were good early in the decade.
They were.
And
the
Islanders
okay,
have
they,
been
they
good
got Barry
as
Trotz,
of late.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before Barry Trotz went to the Capitals after all that.
Barry Trotz is the man. But when we talk about Tennessee pro sports dysfunction, the Memphis Grizzlies have done a hell of a job taking that description and running with it. And the team that I'm going to pick is probably the clear-cut favorite here, because it's hard to make a list like this and not include a tanking NBA team, because NBA teams tank better than any teams in pro sports. And this 2017-18 Memphis Grizzlies team?
Oh, they tanked.
Oh, they tanked all right.
Tanked.
22-60, not very good. Canned David Fizdale after only 19 games. Now, without looking, if you had to guess, in 19 games David Fizdale got fired in, what do you think his record would have been in that?
Okay, I'm not looking. I'm going to say 3-16.
Nope. He was actually 7-12.
That's not even that bad.
That's not that bad for a team that would eventually go on to be 22-60. He won a third of his team's games that year.
And he got fired.
And got canned. Absolutely
ridiculous. He just wasn't doing a good enough job of tanking, and the front office said, you need to lose more. And he said, I want to win.
Then
they said,
I
want to
win
and
fired. Take that for data. Yeah. And then,
I don't know if that's true, by the way. That's rumor on the street.
Yeah, it's what we've been hearing.
Yeah. Sources.
And then, of course, J.B. Bickerstaff, which I think it is a badge of honor for every team that is tanking to have J.B. Bickerstaff coach the team at least some point, because he's taking over in Cleveland now that John Beilein got fired.
Yes. J.B.
That
Bickerstaff,
is a tanking team.
Maybe the coolest coach name out there in basketball.
J.B. Bickerstaff.
Fun to say. Like, you teach your kid that when they're young. J.B. Bickerstaff. They're learning their consonants, their vowels, their syllables.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, diction is done with the tip of the tongue and the teeth. J.B. Bickerstaff.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a little exercise, a little diction exercise I used in a chorus my 8th grade year.
Is that where you also learned how to say, like, all the states in under 20 seconds or something? Is it, you can do that, right?
That was elementary school, yeah. I can say all 50 states in alphabetical order in under, like, 20 seconds.
And we've timed him on this before. And it's true.
Yep.
And then I saw a viral video of someone doing it, and I was like, I saw Elijah do that like 2 years ago.
Yeah, they're behind the trend. I am a Renaissance man. I am ahead of my time. I have mastered the art of diction and pointing out how bad J.B. Bickerstaff is. I'm just loving to say his name.
This whole conversation started with J.B. Bickerstaff.
J.B. Bickerstaff.
That's how quickly we can go off on a tangent without sports.
You should ride in a car with us sometimes. It gets ridiculous.
We did a whole car ride to Dallas, Texas once, so...
You can imagine the range of topics that were discussed.
Somehow sports never when we went to Gatlinburg, somehow sports never came up in that whole drive out there.
Yeah, because crap like this happens.
Because we can just talk and talk and talk. That's why we do this even when there are no sports, because
we
just
have
this ability to never shut up.
Exactly. You can't shut me up. You can't shut either of us up. That's the beauty of this. But speaking of not being able to shut up or being able to stop anything, this Grizzlies team could not stop a nosebleed. They're 26 out of 30 teams in defensive rating, 27th out of 30 teams in offensive rating. And here's one of my favorite parts of this team. Not only were they really, really bad, but they were also incredibly boring. They were, let's see, 29th out of 30 teams in pace, which is pretty much possessions per game.
Slow.
They were very slow. They were slow. They were boring. They were a total eyesore. They're 27th in turnover percentage. 24 different players suited up that season for the Grizzlies. Teams that in the NBA, you roster 12. They suited up 24
different rosters.
24 different guys. That is insane. Lost three more games than expected in terms of expected win-loss. And if, would you like to take a guess on who their leading scorer was that year?
Ooh. Well, this was... Okay. They didn't have Jay Crowder then, right? He was still in Cleveland.
He was not one of the 24 guys that suited up on this team.
For that team?
I'll go by and I will just... I will name...
That was the year they traded Conley and Gasol, right?
Nope.
That wasn't even that year.
Here's everyone that played a minute on this Grizzlies team. Dylan Brooks, Marshawn Brooks, Mario Chalmers, Mike Conley, Deontay Davis, James Ennis, Tyreek Evans, Mark Gasol.
Oh, it was Tyreek Evans.
It was Tyreek Evans. Yep.
Yep. Because he was hoping that year, and they didn't trade him at the deadline.
He was. Yeah. And they kept him for what? They're not. Oh my God. Like, not
good job,
only,
Memphis.
They had guys that were solid players, and still decided to not trade them away. So even though they did a good job tanking in terms of just losing a lot of games, like losing 60 games is a pretty good job if you're trying to tank, they didn't do it correctly because they didn't get rid of anyone that was any good.
They probably could have gotten another pick.
Yeah, they probably could have, especially out of Tyreek Evans that year. A team that was contending would have loved to have had a guy who can score off the bench.
It's crazy just thinking about it. So this team is not the team that led to them getting John Morant. This is the team that led to them getting Jaren Jackson with the fourth pick, right?
Correct.
Not the second pick.
They even got unlucky in the lottery.
Somehow, so in this bracket, the team who gets the fourth pick is worse than the team who gets the second pick. Which is what makes tanking in the NBA so ironic, is that they're the ones with a lottery meant to discourage tanking.
Exactly. And teams still do it anyway.
And it works.
And it works. That's, for a lot of teams, it definitely worked. For the Grizzlies, it's worked. They still. And if you draft well, because you can tank in the NBA, win the lottery, and still take someone like Marvin Bagley over Luka Doncic and Trae Young. In the end, the fate is still in your hands, and if you're the Sacramento Kings, at the end of the day, you are still the Sacramento Kings. Ooh. So screwing up on draft night is just something you do. That is just Gallagher smashed pumpkins on stage, or not watermelons on stage. And that was his shtick. The Sacramento Kings just tank on draft night and in the regular season. That's just their shtick. That's just what they do. That is their MO, as friends in law enforcement would say. Their MO as a serial loser is,
and you can't seem to stop them from doing it. Because when was the last time they were truly relevant?
We'd be talking 18, 19 years. 18, 19 years, hard road for the Sacramento Kings. But the Memphis Grizzlies, 2017-18, I think is a clear favorite just because I have a lot of other teams that I wanted to put here. But there's a lot of humor behind the dysfunction of that Grizzlies team, considering they play 24 different guys, one of them being Nashville's own Brandon Wright, arguably one of the greatest high school basketball players to ever play in the mid-state.
Brandon Wright, I have served him when I used to work at Tzatziki's. Fun fact.
Oh, nice.
Yep, he would come in. I think he gets a Mediterranean salad, if I remember correctly.
He seems like a Mediterranean salad kind of guy.
Totally.
Also, Brandon Wright, if you look at a lot of advanced metrics, is a very underrated player. He just never got minutes in the NBA. He never got a ton of minutes, never got starters minutes, but in his small little share, played really, really well on some decent teams. This team obviously was not one of those decent teams. This is one of the last teams that employed Brandon Wright, might be the last one. But Brandon Wright, friend of the station, we've had him on Darren Donick and Chase a couple times. Great dude. I just feel bad for him that his last days in the NBA were spent on this really bad Memphis Grizzlies team, but we are making them relevant again by putting them on our losers bracket.
I'll tell you what, here's something for a tease for you. I feel like I've already kind of picked on some low-hanging fruit just by the nature of having the pick that wasn't the first one in this bracket.
Yeah.
And this one, I'm not going to call it low-hanging fruit, what I'm going to pick next segment, but it's going to bring back some funny memories for you.
Oh, man, I'm excited for this.
So we will see who gets to match up with who our 3 seed was, which was
last year's Vanderbilt Commodores basketball team, right?
Correct.
So the team I'm about to pick, we'll be matching up against them. And for the reason I'm stating, I think they can compete, even though their record wasn't that bad. We'll get to that coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back. Calvin and Campbell, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Elijah Campbell, joined alongside by Calvin Smith and the one and only Captain Kurt behind the glass on the ones and twos, bringing us back with the tunes.
Classic, classic to me, the Fox Sports Radio. I cannot get the sense out. Classic to me, the Fox Sports Tennessee TV theme.
That is a good one. That is one of those, because it's every, you know, section of the country has a Fox Sports something, like a Fox Sports Tennessee, Fox Sports like South, Fox Sports Southeast, Fox Sports Ohio.
Which then got bought by ABC, which goes to ESPN. Then I think they sold it to somebody else. It's going to change names at some point. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's every time I hear that music, I think of Preds games, Cincinnati Reds games, Atlanta Hawks, and Memphis Grizzlies games. Because
in
every
that order?
Single. Kind of all at once. It depends on the season.
See, I my mind immediately goes to Preds.
Really?
And does not veer away. Because I grew up watching two things. The Predators and the Braves. And for some reason, that one is just so... Like, baseball, I think, is tied up in the Fox Sports theme that they use for that.
Yeah.
Versus... That is just intertwined with the Predators for me.
Yeah. I think of irrelevant regular season games in professional leagues that have 82 to 162 game regular seasons.
The games that really don't matter, but...
Yeah, exactly.
But I like this, so I'm watching it.
Exactly. It feels like part of the routine, and that's one of the crazy things we're missing right now.
Absolutely. And obviously something we're working through on this show is our bracket of the worst teams ever. And I teased before the break for the sixth seed. This is the team that will match up against last season's Vanderbilt basketball squad that vastly underachieved. Now, this team, they were 16-16 in the college basketball world.
Oh.
Which isn't bad. But the coach, Donnie Tindall.
Wow. Donnie Tindall, that guy was there for a cup of coffee and no more, no less.
One season of Donnie Tindall at Tennessee, after 3 years of Konzo Martin, after several years of Bruce Pearl, then you get Rick Barnes, but Donnie Tindall gets squished in there.
Tweener guy.
And I just wanted to see what would happen. I Googled Donnie Tindall's name, and you go to videos on Google, and I feel bad for the guy. He's actually now the coach of a G League team. Good for him.
A good G League team.
Yeah.
I think, Vipers? Grand Rapids Vipers?
After all this stuff with the recruiting, you know, fallout happens and everything.
Yeah.
Good for him for landing on his feet. I feel bad that you Google his name, and one of the first results is former disgraced coach Donnie Tindall.
Wow.
Lands on his feet.
Jeez,
what a way to lead the story.
That's
with
a hell of a lead right there. Pulling zero punches when talking about Donnie Tindall.
Jeez, Donnie, I'm sorry. On behalf of the media, I'm sorry.
On behalf of the media, I didn't know recruiting scandals made you that disgraced.
Like, after having 1 year? Come on.
We talked about Rick Pitino like that disgrace. Like, come on. There was like a hooker gate thing.
Not even on the same scale.
Yeah.
Cut Donnie Tindall some slack. But I just think of the name Donnie Tindall, kind of get a giggle out of it. I don't really know why, but I do.
The worst part of the Donnie Tindall and his legacy in college basketball was before he got to Tennessee, before he even got to Southern Miss. He was a coach at Morehead State, recruited Kenneth Faried.
He did.
And had some very great Morehead State basketball teams. Morehead State's never been the same since. They've never been to the college basketball NCAA tournament since. Not only did he take Morehead State to the NCAA tournament after winning the OVC, he won a game. They upset Louisville that year. He won a game.
Were they a 13 seed or something?
13 seed. They were a 13 seed and beat 4
seed. For some
reason,
I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, because it was an incredible game. It was a back and forth incredible
and
game.
I remember it because of Kenneth Faried, because the dude grabbed every single rebound.
Every single one.
And he's like, what, 6'7", 6'8"?
The manimal, as
not
he was
even
called.
Not even that tall.
Yeah, he's not like this towering force. You know, he's not like the 7-footer that's out here just like Wilt Chamberlain.
Not Taco Fall.
Yeah, and he's not Bill Russell. Bill Russell's only like 6'9", 6'10", maybe. But he's not Wilt Chamberlain playing against a bunch of small dudes just grabbing rebounds because he's taller than everybody. He jumped out the gym and was a very physical player, broke NCAA double-double records. Guy was a freak. And his nickname, the Manimal, is one of the greatest in the history of basketball. One of my favorite nicknames applied to anybody. And he almost single-handedly won that game for them against Louisville. I can't remember the guy's first name, Harper, for Morehead State. Hit a big shot late, under maybe 10 seconds left to dethrone Louisville. Incredible game, incredible team. And no one remembers that when they think of Donnie Tindall now, because they think of how bad that one team was at Tennessee.
And how just poorly it ended, too. Because honestly, based on his resume, not even a bad coach.
That would have been 2015, 16? Or 14, 15?
It was 14, 15. Okay. Yes, they were 7-11 in the SEC.
7-11 in the SEC.
They're not as good as last the season prior's Konzo Martin, and then Rick Barnes turned around the next season, and they were 15-19. Then the next year, Rick Barnes' team was 16-16. Obviously, in the long run, Rick Barnes worked out. But
yeah, it was definitely a little bit of a slow build.
Goodness, just looking back on it, what a wild decade on Rocky Top.
Really, though?
You talk about a football program that went from, that started the decade coming out of Lane Kiffin into Derek Dooley, Butch Jones into Jeremy Pruitt. Mm-hmm. All of those have had significant lows, including basically everything with Derek Dooley. Butch Jones' infamous season that's in our bracket.
Yep, they have their own special spot.
And then Jeremy Pruitt lost to Georgia State, even though they finished the season
that's
well.
That's the cherry on top.
They still lost to Georgia State.
And that's probably one of the worst losses in the history of Tennessee football.
Yes.
38-point favorites.
And they came back from it, and that's great, and they still made a bowl and all that, and they won the bowl game, and that's good. Good for Jeremy Pruitt for coming out and doing that. But then you look at the basketball program, too. You come out of Bruce Pearl, you go into Konzo Martin, to Donnie Tindall for 1 year, then you get Rick Barnes and have a monster season 1 year.
Yeah, and you're number one in the country.
What a roller coaster ride if you are a Vols fan.
This Donnie Tindall team, I'm looking at the roster right now, and
they
had some good players.
Please give me some irrelevant
names.
That's
the crazy thing, is Josh Richardson is a really good player, is a solid player in the NBA. He didn't have he's kind of underachieved in Philly this year, but in Miami was a pretty good player and was a really good college basketball player. Armani Moore wasn't bad. Kevin Punter averaged only 10 points a game that year, but was the best player the next year.
I just look at this and see one name. Robert Hubbs.
Robert Hubbs was an underachiever.
Five-star, like top 10 guy in the country.
Dyer County's best.
Yes.
Robert Hubbs.
Never really panned out the way he was supposed to.
Yeah, he never really did. But the one name on here that like blows my mind, it's a guy who averaged 1.2 points, 1.1 rebounds, 0.1 assist. So seemingly irrelevant, right? Freshman center, 6'10", Tariq Owens. Now, for those who don't know, Tariq Owens was the starting center on last year's Texas Tech national runner-up team. Think about that. Tariq Owens was a starting player on a team that was an overtime period away, was a DeAndre Hunter three-pointer away from being a national championship team. Tariq Owens, his freshman year, played on this Tennessee team.
Huh.
Donnie Tindall brought Tariq Owens. Tariq Owens played a couple years at Tennessee, transferred to St. John's for the last years of his remaining undergrad eligibility, and as a grad transferred to Texas Tech, where he was one of the best shot blockers in the Big 12, and ended up helping. I won't say he led them, because Jarrett Culver, pretty good. Davide Moretti, pretty good. A bunch of other guys on that team, pretty good. But Tariq Owens was the starting center on that pretty good team that not only went to a Final Four and beat Michigan State, but was an overtime period away from beating Virginia to win the whole thing.
So it really worked out for him. And before we have to get to break here, mm-hmm. I'm just scrolling through old names, and this goes all the way back to 2009, 2010. But I saw, you know how on Twitter people's likes will pop up on your feed?
Oh, yeah.
The tweet was, it was liked by you, a picture of Wayne Chisholm.
Wayne Chisholm. It's this account. It's like college basketball hooper of the day. And it's guys that weren't good in the NBA or didn't even have a career in the NBA. And it's one guy each day. Like 2 weeks ago, A.J. Ogilvie from Vanderbilt.
A.J. Ogilvie
from Vanderbilt was the college hooper of the day. So many like randoms. I liked like 20 tweets from that account in one day alone. They probably think I'm stalking them, but I was going through these names like, oh my God, yes. Like that's a name of a guy who used to get buckets. Like Drew Neitzel from Michigan State. That guy used to be able to get buckets back in the day. Johnny Flynn was a colossal NBA draft bust, but could get buckets at Virginia.
Well, I'm looking at this on that same Tennessee team. My favorite name ever, Scotty Hobson.
Scotty Hobson was supposed to be so good, and he was pretty good. I mean, like, he had been good for someone who was, like, a three-star, but the guy who was, like, the first five-star player that I think Bruce Pearl, I might be wrong on that, because I think Tobias Harris was the first McDonald's All-American that Tennessee ever recruited, or mm-hmm. Bruce Pearl ever recruited.
Yeah.
And Tobias Harris had a solid.
Was Tyler Smith a five-star? He might have been a high four.
He is a high four.
Yeah.
And he was a transfer from Iowa. So
technically
wasn't originally recruited by Bruce Pearl. That was taken. I can't remember who was coaching Iowa at the time because it wasn't Fran McCaffrey just yet.
But that's your little Tennessee basketball throwback. And coming up next, you know, we've done a little bit of making fun of here on this show with the worst teams of all time. And we do it in good fun. We don't mean this personally. Wayne Chisholm, you are better at basketball than both of us, okay?
And he wasn't even on this team. Well, disclaimer, Wayne Chisholm would never have anything associated to do with this list. He was that good.
No. But we want to come back from break here and make fun of ourselves a little bit. Elijah and I, both former great, and I mean great, high school athletes, travel athletes in our younger days. We want to get to our most embarrassing moments and hopefully give you a good laugh. If you have one of your own, give us a call, 615-737-1025. Try to top 60-0 and the lights getting shut out at halftime, like Joseph from Cross Plains called in and told us. That's coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.